Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me today. With the Lord's help, we're going to continue on just sharing some thoughts from Scripture, actual Scripture references, as said, the Word has a way of just preaching itself, on the subject of waiting on God. And we have been looking at, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, what traits characterize waiting on God. In other words, okay, the Word tells us, it encourages, exhorts us to wait on God. Then how do we do that? We do that with patience. This is the references I gave, Lamentations 3:26. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 40:1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And we're to do that with hope. Psalm 130:5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Why? Because he is faithful and a God of integrity who is faithful and will fulfill his word. And because of that, we can look to him with faith and full confidence. Micah 7:7 says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then also, Psalm 130:6 talks about waiting for God with earnest desire. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Now, in today's world, that we might say that's very poetic. Of course, you know, I use the King James, Authorized King James Version. And we might not be able to really relate to that. Our soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Well, in today's world, we don't have people really waiting for the morning. But this was written in a time when there weren't electric lights and society was very different. Life revolved around the natural day cycle. In other words, work. Jesus said, work while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. Work and activity was confined for the daylight hours. But there may be times that for example, if an army was besieging a city or something like that, or there was frequently in a time of war, and that's true even in more modern times, that there would be a greater concern for waiting for the morning, or perhaps someone, a child who was ill, or there was someone in very serious physical condition. The few hours, the morning might tell whether they were going to make it or recover or not. So, but on the whole, we have a hard time relating to that scripture. Well, I'd like to share just a personal experience that happened in my own life. And it, when I became saved, that scripture became so real to me. And this was in probably, 1970. I was not saved, and my brother and I were living with a couple in the, it was about the 4,300 foot of the Sierra Nevada, in way off, like 7-8 miles off the interstate, and the only way you get there was on a small dirt road. It was next to the train tracks of the Southern Pacific, and it had been an area years before called Midas. There had been a small community there, and there had been, I guess, must have been a station, because all there was left was like a little bench, a waiting bench put between two trees. And there was, at that time, a 100-year-old apple orchard that the Chinese had planted, because Chinese were used to do a lot of the labor in constructing the actual tracks that were laid for the Southern Pacific. Nonetheless, this husband and wife He was a minor, and my brother and I, for a short period of time, lived there. And anyway, it was late October, I think it was in probably 1970, and I had been down at the mine, and I was by myself, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a shortcut off the track and go up to Midas to watch the sunset. Well, I followed the sun, which was a mistake. I was going at a much greater angle, and the fact of the matter is, the sun set, and I began to panic because it got so dark, I could not see. And I remember the old miner Dale said, you know, there are places around that they just dug caverns and they weren't blocked up. It was very dangerous. And so I thought, I panicked and realized I was not going to make it back to camp for the night. And so at the very end of October, I spent a night in the woods, lost by myself. And to be honest, as I stayed there that whole night, realizing that I might not ever be found, I might not make it back. And I didn't know the Lord, but there was a strange peace. I was kind of fatalistic. Well, I'll either make it or I won't make it. Anyway, it was so cold, I had to do jumping jacks just to keep warm. And all I could do, the whole focus of that night, was to wait for the dawn, wait for daylight, so I could see to try to make it back. And the reason I'm sharing this, obviously, I did make it back. I just, as it became light enough to see, I started walking in a direction, and I was so happy when I saw the telephone lines that ran along the Southern Pacific Railroad tracks, and all I did was follow the tracks back into camp. And needless to say, some folks were very happy to see me. So, anyway, when I came to the Lord, I didn't really know Scripture, and so I started reading the book of John, and I, of course, read the Psalms. And when I read that passage of Scripture, when my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, I say more than they that watch for the morning, my goodness, that's all that I could remember. And back in 2008 to 2010, I, through a series of circumstances, went up to live on the Duck Valley Reservation, which straddles the Idaho and Nevada border. And it's not a large reservation, maybe only 20 miles in diameter, yet it is also one of the most remote in the nation. It's 100 miles before you can get to Elko, or 100 miles up to Mountain Home to anything like a grocery store or a Walmart or a McDonald's. They do have a small gas station and market there, a school, a little medical facility, but that's it. So if you want to go anywhere, you got to travel 100 miles. Anyway, while I was pastoring there at Owyhee Presbyterian Church, Reverend Josie, who was a Spirit-filled pastor, I'm not Presbyterian, but I stepped in. They had a need, and so I was willing to move up there for a couple of years. What she did was, there is a monthly newsletter that comes out once a month, and she had words of wisdom with a little bit of a testimony, some scripture or something to minister. And so I did that while I was there. And so I emailed Yvonne, this was happened in February of 2010, I shared these words of wisdom for their publication. And I use that very scripture, Psalm 130 and 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And this is what I wrote. Can you relate to that scripture? I can. Once I was lost overnight in the Sierra Nevada mountains at the end of October. It was so cold, it was impossible to sleep. So I tried to keep warm by doing jumping jacks between huddling in a small declivity with my lightweight coat pulled over me. My feet were numb for days afterwards. Obviously, I made it back. However, I'll never forget those long hours of waiting for the morning and the first light of day before I could begin trying to find my way back. I want to pause right here. I'll never forget the look of that moon, how cold it was, and the sound of the wind blowing through Blue Canyon. Way down in the valley, I never got there, but that's where they used to release bears that were problematic in Yosemite. I went on to write, "The night watch has long been filmed, painted, and written about. It is a time often filled with loneliness and fear, watching the darkness all around with for strange sounds and sights. What relief comes to the waiting watcher when the first rays of dawn appear? Many times in the sad, dark, alone places of our lives, we find ourselves yearning for relief, for a glimmer of hope. There is one who can dispel the darkness, and he is called the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who will call upon him in sincerity and in truth, the word declares the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings." And I close with that scripture reference, Malachi 4 and 2. Beloved, I don't often take the time to share personal experiences, but I want to tell you that scripture to this day is fraught with meaning. Waiting for the Lord, I can relate to that. All I could do was wait for the morning. Beloved, you may feel as desperate right now. You may not be waiting for the natural physical dawn to come, but you might be waiting for the dawn of hope, of help, of encouragement. And I say to you in the name of the Lord, your help will come. Let's pray. Father, there are those who are in a very dark nighttime experience. They can relate to what I shared, to what I wrote for the Chopin News. God, I'm asking you to arise upon them with healing in your wings, with light and comfort and strength and a way out of that dark place. Let your light arise upon them as the beauty of a beautiful dawn, replete with colors and hope and strength. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you will do that. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, for those of you who have been on my mailing list, I invite you to become a part of my spiritual family. I share that I maintain the fellowship down there. It's a ranching community, Indians, cowboys. I go down to Jim and Noni's ranch and help with the branding every year and maintain my contact with that church to show that I still care and I still pray, just as I do for you, my spiritual family and my radio family. I invite you to write, God bless you, I love you, and until tomorrow, we'll continue our message. This is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,